Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we come before you this evening and with great thanksgiving in our heart and great joy and peace, Father, that everything that you have and are preparing us for is right on schedule. And so we just praise you for that, Father, and just ask that this evening, by your Spirit, you take us exactly where you'd have us go. And we just give you all honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to continue on with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And even though I keep thinking I'm going to be talking about Revelation, I guess it's all about Revelation, but I'm going to continue on here and deal with the topic of peace and joy. It's something that is extremely important in this hour and for the remainder of our time in this dispensation, because those people who are going to fulfill their destiny in Christ are going to be a people who are abiding in peace and joy, abiding in the power of the Holy Spirit, abiding in Christ, abiding in the Word, however you want to put it. We're going to be abiding in the presence of God. And from that place, we'll go forth in great power and accomplish perfectly everything that He has for us. And that, of course, as I've said many times before, should be the highest and utmost aim of every Christian walking the face of this earth. If it isn't, then there needs to be repentance, because there's only one way to do this, and that's to enter in through the narrow gate. And even though that gate is narrow, it is foolproof, and it is eternal, and it is powerful. So we're going to deal with some scriptures and just go where the Holy Spirit takes us. In Isaiah 32, verse 15 to 18, it says, it's written, actually, to preface this, it actually says, until the Spirit is poured out, because before that they're talking about the barrenness in the earth. But it says, the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fertile field. And the fertile field is considered as a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will abide in the fertile field. Again, there's that word, abide, drawing the picture of dwelling continually and eternally. Isaiah 32, verse 15. And it's not done yet either. It gets better. And the work of righteousness will be peace. And the service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. Then my people will live in a peaceful habitation and in secure dwellings and in undisturbed resting places. Now you can meditate in that scripture. That's the New American Standard. You can meditate on that scripture and you begin to see the absoluteness of God in this and His plan. His plan for a people who are righteously motivated in all things. And when we are in that place, then we will abide in peace. And when we are in that place, and I will go on to talk about a little bit more about this later on, we will have that quietness, that confidence, that divine assurance of God's will in our life, so that we are assured continually that we are in the process of fulfilling our destiny in Christ perfectly. We ought to be a people who are aiming for perfection, to be righteously motivated in all things. And then the perfection of God will be seen forth through us in all things. But it really paints a beautiful picture there. And I've talked before about divine assurance. That's a very important thing, as we'll go on to see. In Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9, the scripture says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, Marsh has just finished a series on prayer. And the bottom line is, you know, we need to be in fellowship with God. We need to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that when God gives us prayers to pray, that's exactly where they're coming from, His heart. I mean, we're beyond the place now where we should be struggling as to whether what we're praying is of God. If you don't know, pray in the Spirit. but really, it's a much smoother process than people have given it credit to it, because they've maintained self-desire, self-agenda, and that just fouls everything up. You know, I find that if God is working out something in me, it's really time to just go in and allow the Holy Spirit to do that work. But as far as prayer goes, I pretty much stick to praying in the Spirit unless I know I have a revelation. And you know, we've covered other, you've covered all the topics about praying the word and so forth. So there's no reason for us as Christians to be praying ungodly prayers. It's that simple. And believe me, you don't want to be doing that, because what you will bring upon yourself and upon those you're praying for is not good, even though your intentions are probably good, you see, as Christians. So again, this is more of an exact science than has happened in the past. And it's all by the power of God. So be anxious for nothing. That's a good start. Have no fear. And the peace of God, this is after you've done this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So now you get the picture of the power of God guarding your heart. See, the problem is, in many cases, when people don't allow the Holy Spirit to do the deepest work of the cross continually, they avoid the situations and the places where God would take them. And consequently, they're trying to guard their own heart, but really they're protecting themselves through fear rather than just walking in obedience, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring forth the necessary confrontation. And believe me, I'm an expert at this, because I avoided that situation many, 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 many times until I finally realized that it was far more painful to go through it my way than it was God's way. For a long time, I thought, oh, what's God going to do? And it was always perfect in after. So again, it's important to understand that it's God's power that's going to keep us and guard our hearts. And what is the guarding of our hearts for? If we have a heart that's wholly given to God and to do His will continually and again fulfill our destiny in Christ, that's what He's protecting. And the evil one can't touch us. He can't, in our heart, and take us off the path that God has for us. So it's the power of God. Don't ever be afraid of missing the will of God when you're walking in obedience, when you're truly seeking God, regardless of what you feel like. You just have to go before God and say, Father, I want to do your will. I want to be a pleasing child. He will bring that to pass. We can't do it by our own power. We know that. And so we shouldn't be trying at any level of our Christian walk to do it now or in the future. And he said, guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right or righteous, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Again, dwell. This abiding consciousness is so important to us as Christians, because ultimately our goal is to simply abide in the kingdom of God and abide in righteous motivation and abide in all the things and truly become partakers of the divine nature. These things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul speaking, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So, you know, again, that's kind of a neat thing, because now as we study the writings of Paul, as well as everybody else, of course, but particularly Paul, he gives instruction, we can know that the God of peace will be with us in all things. That's very important, because things are escalating. And I mentioned in the last teaching that those things which were controlled by a spirit of fear will now hand the ball over to spirit of terror and panic and so on. And so it's very important for us to be rooted and grounded in love. Very, very important for us to be controlled and constrained by the Holy Spirit in all things, who is the spirit of love. And this thing of peace is a wonderful thing. And I'm going to deal with a lot of scriptures on that concerning peace and joy. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, of course, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, the amazing thing is that as we come to abide in the Word of God, then in any given situation or circumstance, the fruit of the Spirit are flowing continually from us. Now, that's a good thing, because it's coming from the Spirit of God through our spirit and of course, manifesting in our own life. But the thing is, it's also being imparted to all those who cross our path. And that's a wonderful thing. And of course, that's going to escalate in this hour. And people are going to see the peace of God on us. They're going to see the joy of God in us, regardless of the circumstances. And, you know, so we need to be ready and fit vessels. And knowing that as we're walking in that place of obedience, that fruit, whatever fruit we need, or all of them if we need them, will be there. And don't you love it? Love, of course, we're called to walk in love. Joy and peace, patience, again, being the catalyst to fulfilling the fullness of God's purpose in any given situation. Kindness, goodness speak for themselves. They represent God, who is kind and good. And, of course, faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of faithfulness rising up within us keeps us tracking on the will of God, keeps us seeking after godly desire in all things. And that overrides any attempt by the evil one in the flesh to come into that place of self-desire. There's only two types of desires that we will experience in this earth. One is godly desire, and one is self-desire. There is no other desire. Even if you desire something good for somebody else, it can still either be godly desire or self-desire, depending on what your motivation is within. So we need to be pure, and we need to be holy. And as we abide in obedience, then you see this faithfulness comes. We not only operate in faithfulness towards God, but we get a continually deeper revelation of His faithfulness. And that's what it's all about, revelation in the character of God. When you know Him as He is, you will believe what He says. And when you believe what He says, you will act on what He says without fear, without thought for yourself or your circumstances. It's a simple thing, but you know, we've got a devil and the flesh attempting to derail us from these things and to blind the eyes of people if He will allow them to. But when we know the Father as He is, it sets in motion a number of things, and it leads to perfect liberty. And that's the desire. When you know God as He desires for you to know Him, you will be free. There's no question. And then, of course, the last one, the last two, gentleness, that's an amazing fruit, and self-control. Of course, again, keeping us in that place where we ourselves are not controlling ourselves. That's futile. We all know that. But the Holy Spirit working through our spirit, it's flowing out, the power of God's flowing out to cause us to be constrained by love, to be constrained by godly desire and not self-desire in any form. So I think the one thing that's really come across to me, I mean, I suppose I've always had that revelation, but I've really come to see that the whole thing that God is working in us for is so that we can be perfectly empowered and completely empowered in all things by Him. All things. It doesn't matter what you're called to, all things. And that will be borne out in the days ahead, because, you know, not only will the glorious church bear great fruit, that's a certainty, but we'll see every other aspect of God's plan that He desires to be fulfilled gloriously. I love this time because we don't have a clue as to the greatness of the magnitude of God's plan and what will happen. Again, I've said it before, but it will be the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit this earth's ever seen. You know, you do the math. You know, the exponential increase of God. He can't move without increasing. That's just the way He is. So, as a church, we are going to represent Him, and we're going to do great and wondrous things. And if the early church turned the world upside down, which they did, how much more then will we? But of course, the world needs to be turned upside down more now than it ever has. So we have some things to look forward to. So again, as we abide in the Word, the fruit of the Spirit will be manifesting in our life. It's not something we have to come up with. That's futility. Romans 14:17 says, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And I'm going to touch on some things here, because one of the great things that the devil tries to do is get us over into that place of soulish or physical gratification. Again, that's partly a thing of self-desire. And in many ways, if the devil can get people to indulge in things that are apart from the Holy Spirit, then what happens is he can control that person's life, because it's fear that seeks false security. It's fear that tries to make itself feel better or quote-unquote comfort itself. Well, I'm going to go on a little later and talk about the comfort ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's a whole different ball game than going down and eating three buckets of ice cream. The greatest enemy to abiding in righteousness, or to be righteously motivated in all things, and to abide in that peace and joy I talked about, is the willful pursuit of soulish and physical gratification. Now, a lot of times, you know, of course, when we all started out, we realized there were some things in our lives that weren't profitable. And, you know, we allowed the Holy Spirit to deal with them. Perhaps right away they were taken out. But as time goes on, the devil gets a little more subtle. And Paul really summed it up perfectly because, you know, he said all things are lawful, and they are. But the fact is, he said not all things are profitable. So as each believer continues on in their quest to fulfill, to please the Father and to fulfill their destiny in Christ, then he will point out things that are not profitable for us. Now, sometimes that takes a little bit of persuasion on the part of the Holy Spirit because we can't see how a certain thing would be harmful. But if he says it is, it is. And of course, I've seen some examples in my own life of that. And when the Holy Spirit says something to you, it's for your greatest eternal benefit, and it's to do. But again, this isn't a legalistic thing. We're talking about preserving godly desire in our heart, in our life, and not fueling self-desire. And that's what seeking after emotional gratification or physical gratification does, even if it's very subtle and we're not aware of it. But again, you know, we talk about the inner chamber. This is one of the benefits of spending that time in fellowship with the Father and His Word, is that these things will become evident in that place. But if people don't want them to become evident, then they stay away from the inner chamber. And that's really the ultimate scheme of the enemy trying to control our lives, trying to get us to overindulge or self-indulge in any way, because when we do, it can lead to a tainted conscience, so to speak, and it will ultimately keep that believer until they repent out of that place of intimate fellowship with God through shame and other things that we have no part of. So it's again, the whole key in this hour is that, you know, we are a people who are called to the ascension life, that is to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. And in that place, that's where we're never, ever, ever ignorant of Satan's schemes. That's the only place. Because if you're walking around in the midst of the world in heart fellowship with it, everything seems fine until. But of course, that day is now upon us where tremendous separation is happening in the church. And God is raising up a remnant church to shine a great light in the earth. And first and foremost, the purpose of that light will be to lead those who are in rebellion and lawlessness in the church into a place of a deep and thorough repentance. That means an actual turning around from obedience to the desires of the flesh and the devil to obedience to God and to godly desire. So that's a wonderful thing. So we have great responsibility given to us in this hour, because once the remnant church again begins to take legs, many people are going to begin to flow to Zion. They're going to repent and come in, and then that light will shine brighter and brighter and brighter, and this is how the world will be turned upside down. Because in that time also will be the movement of each obedient child of God, and the power of God will flow through to meet the needs, to set the captives free. And that's the reality of our day. Our job is to believe the Word of God, to spend that time in fellowship with Him, and thus to be a pure vessel that represents Him perfectly in all things. It's funny, the scripture in Corinthians talking about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I was meditating on that. It's a wonderful thing. You know, we want to be filled with the Spirit to overflowing. But the Holy Spirit said to me, and He said yes, and He said, where there's liberty in the life of the child of God, there's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is enabled to do whatever He wants to do in any given situation. So you see, the quest that God has us on is for freedom, to desire freedom. I mean, you know, even the things that we considered, I wouldn't say helpful, but maybe even profitable at some times in our lives, are now being found to be unnecessary and therefore unprofitable in us being pure vessels, because the Holy Spirit wants to do great and mighty things. I don't have a hard time seeing the miracles that God has planned for this end time, because He's raising up a people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that are empty, and He can simply just do what He wants to do or needs to do in any given situation. So it's a wonderful time. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That's a tremendous scripture. Again, we're instructed to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, or bring every thought captive to a revelation of the Father's will, where we're concerned, and where the corporate church is concerned. And when we do that, we will have the perfect peace, and in that empowerment, our mind automatically reaches out, regardless of our feelings, regardless of our circumstances, reaches out for a revelation of the Father's heart in that moment. And then comes the peace and joy, big time, and the revelation that we need to sustain us in holding fast the vision. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us and is manifested to the greatest degree in the heart that has been wholly given to Him. Again, this whole, we give our hearts to God, give our hearts wholly to God by faith in the beginning, when we get a revelation that that's the divine requirement. And then God works out in us, through process, everything that needs to be worked out. But ultimately, He's faithful to finish the work that He's begun. And went to, and so as He does, we begin to experience that abiding peace and that abiding love. And then the situations that caused us to almost curse those that came against us, we turn and we are able to walk by love automatically. A spontaneous overflow of the love of God operating within us. And, you know, the thing that, again, I said earlier that's coming to me is that God is raising up a people that will be totally empowered by Him. And we can't come up with the kind of power we need to accomplish the will of God in any way, shape, or form. We know the flesh profits nothing. We know that we're instructed to do nothing apart from Christ or the anointing that abides within us. So, you know, when we get a revelation of these things, they begin to come together, and we begin to understand that God is responsible for our empowerment in all things that He commands us to do. Our job is to simply believe, and in believing, obey. I got a scripture coming up here that's just excellent. I'll just finish this. Many believers, or children of God, search for and seek to experience the wondrous peace that rises up in the heart, regardless of any circumstance or situation. Yet they have no intention, this is a deep thing of the heart, of giving up those things which are a direct hindrance to the relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, now I'm talking to people who are wholly seeking God, and so the work that God's doing in us now is a very, very deep work of the heart. And He's uncovering things that we're not conscious of. I mean, obviously, you know, if we're conscious of things, we should repent. But He's also uncovering things because He's going for perfection in us. He's wants us to be those who are perfect as He is perfect. That is, righteously motivated in all things, towards God, first of all, and towards all those that cross our path. And He is relentless in that, as long as we allow Him to be. And He will do it perfectly. I've never, ever had a situation, I may not have understood it in the beginning, but when the smoke cleared, always I saw the perfection of God. He's perfect. And, of course, that will be seen throughout eternity. There are still many people, tragically, that believe that God is their problem. Well, if God's their problem, then what's the devil? Consequently, if they don't give up the things as the Holy Spirit leads them, allow Him to deal with them, they begin to grieve the Holy Spirit in their daily walk. And of course, this begins or allows hardness of heart to set in. And, you know, hardness of heart, you can go right down the chain, eventually leads to lawlessness and rebellion, full-blown, in many cases. And that's not the people I'm talking to. But we will certainly run into people like that. And with the grace of God, us accessing the grace of God, we can believe for their repentance as we minister whatever God has us minister. Because the Holy Spirit's coming out against the spirit of rebellion in these days, and everything will be exposed. As Paul said, each man's work will become evident. One of the great securities of the flesh is that it's hidden. Whatever, you know, people are doing, it's hidden. You know, nobody knows but them. But God knows, and He has ways, no matter how secure it appears outwardly. But that, of course, is only for those who are stubbornly resisting the Holy Spirit continually. And so these people are double-minded. They become double-minded in their walk. One day they walk in obedience, but because of that hardness of heart I mentioned, due to the fellowship with the world and its ways, that's a heart thing. That's relying on the ways of man, the ways of the flesh, the mind of the flesh, rather than the ways of God and the kingdom of God and the kingdom principles therein. And so they have that hardness of heart, and that precludes them from maintaining a moment-to-moment relationship with the Spirit of God. And then the very next day, They may even find themselves totally leaning upon their own understanding. But that's not what we're called to. We're called to come into that place of intimate fellowship and allow the Holy Spirit to literally possess us and to overflow within us. I saw a t-shirt the other day and it blessed me. It just said, "Got overflow?" question mark. Yeah, it's good. Now here's the scripture I mentioned. Romans 15:13 in the Amplified. I just love this. May the God of your hope, now, I just want to clarify this. It's a whole other teaching, but hope, supernatural hope, is the blueprint of faith. I'm not talking about natural hope. That is the most futile thing on the face of this planet, natural hope. It absolutely has no substance to anything. It says in Romans 4, Abraham hoped against hope. So he hoped with a supernatural hope through revelation of God against natural hope. So just wanted to clarify that. So he says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith. I love that. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing or bubbling over with hope. Again, the empowerment of God bubbling over. We will work out of an overflow for the remainder of our time in this earth. We're not going to have to come up with something. We're just going to go and explode on the devil. And that's the way it is. As the child of God continually fills their heart with the Word of God, thus allowing the Holy Spirit to enter in His fullness, the love of God, which surpasses all knowledge, the peace which passes all understanding, and the joy of the Lord, and indeed the entire spiritual realm, will all become more real to that believer than the things they see and perceive with their five physical senses. Again, there's two types of knowledge. There's sense knowledge and there's revelation knowledge. And I don't know where the Holy Spirit's going to have me go this time and the next time with the revelation knowledge. It is important. We will be a people that abide in revelation. Sense knowledge is useless in itself. But of course, the writer of Hebrews wrote that we can have our senses trained to discern between good and evil. So it's not like we have to look on the senses as a bad thing, but they cannot be our sole and final authority. Our final authority has to be the revelation of God's will and word at every turn. 2 Corinthians 4:13-18. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. Well, that's good. Boy, you don't want to be speaking when you're not believing. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. I mentioned that in an earlier teaching. When you strip down the writings of Paul, it comes down to two things: for the greatest glory of God and for the sake of his people. That's the job of the apostle or the fivefold ministry. That's it right there. When we are true to that, God will be glorified to the greatest degree. His people will be elevated to the greatest degree. I might add that the name of Jesus will always be exalted to the greatest degree, and Satan and his forces will be hurt to the greatest degree. These things go right along with each other. He says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. See, he's renewing us day by day. We want to be renewed in great chunks. It doesn't work that way. But over the period of many days and even many months and even many years, it's a wonderful thing that takes place. You know, you can plant, I'm not an expert on trees, but there are certain trees that you can plant and they're very small. And, you know, you can sit there and look at it day after day and it doesn't look like it's doing much. But if you come back 5 years later, that thing looks like an entirely different tree because it's grown so much, takes on an entirely different appearance. And that's what it's like for us. We just have to move day by day and allow the Spirit of God to sustain us, to feed us with the food that's needful for us, spiritually and physically, and then we will grow and grow and have our minds renewed day in, day out. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. These are heavy words in the Spirit that Paul is writing here. He says, momentary light affliction. Now that's an absolute faith that he's speaking in, because I'm going to share with you what that momentary light affliction was in a second.
is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, when I say they're heavy words, far beyond all comparison. Now, we can do some comparing, but he says you can't compare this with what's to come. And that's the eternal perspective that we need to have and maintain at all times, especially in these days, because we've already stepped into eternity. There's just some work to get done here in this dispensation first. But as far as our walk, we are to walk in the kingdom of heaven, and we are to walk entirely empowered by God. So what's the difference? And we have the blood of Jesus. You know, Bill prayed on Sunday and mentioned about gave a word talking about the need and praying for a deeper revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus. We're going to experience that in the remaining time, this dispensation. And it's an amazing thing. That is something that's going to, you talk about end time mysteries and revelations, that is going to be exploded. And when you have a revelation of the blood of Jesus, then the devil can't control you in any way, shape, or form. So he said, beyond all comparison. Well, we look not at the things which are seen. That's the five physical senses. He says, well, we're not trying to look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful scripture. I'm going to come back to that just a little bit later. But there's some things we have to understand about this as we enter into the fullness of our destiny in Christ. And that is, when you're continually seeking first the kingdom, you have to come to the full realization that you're not going to be excluded from the sufferings of the Lord. And we've defined that time and time again. This is something that needs to be absolutely obliterated from the mind of every child of God. The suffering that we're called to is to resist all that we've been redeemed from. That's it. Simple. Very simple. That's how when we suffer for righteousness' sake, that's what we're called to. Now, suffering for unrighteousness' sake, well, that's obvious. That just means we're sinning and we're sowing or reaping what we're sowing, and, you know, we need to repent. But this is a continual resisting through an absolute faith in the Word of God, walking, entering into the fullness of covenant with God, thus the fullness of our inheritance in Christ, and that's what that means. We don't want to... We have to understand that we are going to suffer for righteousness' sake. That's a good thing. It really is, because again in Peter, what does it say? When it talks about suffering for righteousness' sake, it says the Spirit of glory will rest upon us. Well, heavens, I mean, how are we going to be the glorious church if we don't have the Spirit of glory resting upon us? And if we're the glorious church, we will suffer. It's not a bad thing. It just means to walk in faith from all that we've been redeemed from, spirit, soul, body, and so on. One should never be found seeking fleshly comfort. Again, I mentioned that earlier, that the great danger is to seek after fleshly comfort. You see, we don't want comfort to be a bad word. It can be, though, if you speak of it in emotional terms and soulish terms. And thus attempt to escape from pressure. That's why we find out about why people try to get into that fleshly comfort. It's an escape from pressure. But, you know, I'm not going to go through all the analogies of coal and so on, but pressure is a good thing. Pressure, persecution, and trial, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I mean, we need to be, come into that place of spiritual maturity in these things to understand that it's simply a glorious opportunity to represent God perfectly. And, I mean, the best times of my life, I can't say this maybe when I was going through them initially, but ultimately, the best times in my life in ministry have been when I was under the greatest attack. Ultimately, there was a propelling in the Spirit, and after the smoke cleared, not only was Satan defeated, but I was propelled further on into spiritual maturity, and we're still going. You know, like Paul said, we haven't yet arrived. Anybody who's seeking God knows that. My goodness. Because, you know, the pressures are escalating. The devil is terrorized by the thought of the glorious church coming on the scene. And of course, the prophecies keep coming out from the true prophets. And just not only do they remind him of his destiny, but also the destiny that God has planned for the church. And that's to thump him. That's one of the things. So he knows that. Okay. So we don't want to be trying to attempt to escape from pressure, persecution, and trial. I was an expert at that in the early years. I mean, oh, I don't get anything, just anything. And of course, when you do that, then the devil will back off, because it's like, you know, like when you're fishing, you put the line in, you let the fish go out for a while, it wears down, reel them in. But he's got us in control if we do that. No, it's best just to face things. We can't be a people who are wishy-washy, moved by the subtlest of feelings or emotions or anything like that. We need to be a people who are battle-hardened, who run to the Word of God and who seek after revelation, the revelation we've already been given, and further revelation in any given situation, but not let go, like to hold fast the vision, not let go of the revelation that we have. This is so important now, because we're moving on to greater things, and I'm telling you, we're going to leave this lower thing, this preparation time. You know, we talked about the time of polishing, and that's a wonderful thing. Personally, that was such a wonderful analogy for me, because I actually did that at one point in my last secular job. I actually did polishing and grinding and so on, and I can understand that. The polishing is a good thing, but there is coming a time again where we are going to be released by the supernatural power of God, both individually and corporately, to accomplish the fullness of his plan. We will walk nonstop supernaturally, even the smallest things between now and the catching away of the church. That is the plan of God. He will use the people that are willing to be used. But it's a wonderful thing I've experienced, that I've had glimpses of it. And I'm telling you, it's something to be sought after with all our heart. Okay, so my point here was that when we're really seeking first the kingdom, and when we're really desiring the fullness of God's will for our life, we're going to find ourselves confronted by sin and lawlessness. We just are. And because that's just the two main byproducts of a darkened world. And he's going to try and raise up vessels of persecution to come against us and to provoke us. To provoke us to do what? To leave behind the love walk. Provoke us to act in such a manner as we lose our peace, lose our joy. And I'm going to deal with some scriptures about joy, but I'll say this now. The joy of the Lord's our strength. Nothing else. We don't have any strength apart from that. We don't. We can last a little while on natural strength, but not for long. And in this age, we're going to need the joy of the Lord to stand. But it's a glorious thing to overcome in all things and to be free in every aspect of life and ministry, just to simply pursue the will of God and carry it out. The ministry of comfort. Now, we know the Holy Spirit, one of his names, one of his characteristics is the comforter. But that's a whole different ballgame than, like I said, than that natural comfort that the world pursues. Very, very much so. I mean, I could give you numerous examples and times, and, you know, you're down, the devil seems to have you, it seems like it's all over. Seems like it. Notice I'm saying seems. But the thing is, when you confess the word of God, when you hold fast the vision, when you continue to acknowledge him in all your ways, instead of trying to move out in your own, because it's just selfish. It's just selfish to walk in fear and to run from the battle. When we confront the enemy at every turn, God will show up. The Holy Spirit will show up big time. And you will receive the necessary comfort, whatever that means. I'll just give you an example. There were times, it was pretty tense, and different things happening, and the devil he's not trying to hinder us anymore. He's trying to stop us cold. And if that means killing us, that's what it means. But of course, we have a covenant. He's not taking anybody out except, unless they allow him to, but that wouldn't be very smart. But I can remember there are times when you get under such pressure and the turmoil that's going on, and you don't have any feelings. You're not feeling the peace. You're not feeling the joy. It's there, but it's not readily there initially. And the devil's firing everything, trying to catch us off guard. It just seems like almost God has withdrawn from us. But you're still walking in obedience, and you're seeking it. And, you know, so I get in times like that, and the Father would speak to me and say, right in the middle of this turmoil, he'd say, everything is right on schedule. Well, immediately it breaks. Because if he says everything's right on schedule, you don't have to make any adjustments. You just have to keep on keeping on. And I can tell you, then the flood of peace and the flood of joy comes in. And then all of a sudden, instead of being underneath the attack, you're above it, and you walk on from there. And that's why we have to be consistent and constant in our walk with the Holy Spirit. Because if we go back, then there's no such thing as a stationary position in our spiritual walk. It may seem like we've plateaued and we're okay. If you've plateaued spiritually, you're actually moving backwards without realizing it. But if you're continuing to walk in faith, even if it feels like you're going backwards, you're actually moving forwards in the Spirit. See, it takes faith. But when you're faithful to do that and constantly acknowledge God in all your ways, then your mind becomes renewed. Then you begin to understand the realities of the kingdom. And then you begin to understand that this is what's real, what's in your heart, not what's out beyond. And the devil can only attack from without. I mean, that's just really, I mean, we can open doors and so on. But if we are walking in that place of the secret place of God's presence, then you see consistently, day by day, we're moving into a place. And, you know, God had me give a word at conference just before I really started speaking. And he said, tell my people they're much further along than they can even imagine. You see, the devil, at times, you know, you go through the valleys, and you may start to think that, oh, my God, you know, here I was better than this 5 years ago. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. And what God is saying to us is that, no, this is things getting close. We're much further prepared and better prepared than we can even imagine. The devil's not really agreeing with us in that. He's trying to make us think that we're going backwards. So my exhortation to you in that is just keep on in faith. Pursue the faith walk and to walk in an absolute faith with everything you have, because the time is coming. We are going to step in to the fullness of kingdom living as a corporate church, and we're going to walk nonstop supernaturally until they catch away the church. And the things that seem to be everyday hindrances are going to be blown away. And that's why I always say to people, whatever God has given you as a revelation to pray and to believe for yourself, for people, hold fast to it. It will come to pass. Faith and obedience and patience will surely inherit the promise. We gain the promise or the revelation from God, it will surely come to pass. Okay. Every believer must know in their heart that the grace of God is more than sufficient to meet not only their needs, but also the needs of those captives that they will minister to. Now, that we need to come to a time where we're fully assured that God's grace is sufficient. Well, sufficient for what? It's certainly sufficient for us. But now comes the outflow or the overflow that's going to come through the remnant church. And we need to realize that his grace is sufficient as we access it by faith, you know, in any given situation. See, it all comes down to individual obedience, individual fellowship, the individual gaining a revelation. There's nothing more wondrous to me even now, even after many years, when a believer gets a revelation and another believer gets a revelation, boom, God just brings them together and they go on. And you know, the reality of this is very important for people to know. The fivefold ministry is here to bring people to the unity of faith. It's here to establish the will of God in people's heart, or help establish the will of God in people's hearts. But I'll tell you one thing. The fivefold ministry is useless to the Christian who's not pursuing revelation with all their heart. Because if people are out there coming for quote-unquote ministry, and they haven't taken the time to go before God and find out what's going on, useless. Many, many times God has had me say nothing in a situation where people have come with a wrongly motivated question. And yet other times God will say something, the people will say something, ask a question, and then God will just speak what he's going to speak through me, and boom, it clicks with the revelation that they have. The revelation in them is expanded. They walk off empowered by the revelation that they've received from God, not by what some man or woman said to them. See, that's wishy-washy Christianity, and it won't work in this hour. And that's why many people are being led astray. But if you spend time with God and you get a revelation of his heart, then when a man or woman of God says something, it will witness with your heart. You will be strengthened. And you will walk on with an expanded revelation. And that's why we're getting stronger every day. Regardless of what we feel, we're getting stronger and stronger. Very, very important. I love it. It's a foolproof plan. We don't have to, if people want to be foolish, that's their business. But we don't have time to deal with that if they want to continue being foolish. Okay. Regardless of how hard the various trials and afflictions may seem to us, we may rest assured that our Heavenly Father will deliver us out of them all. by the power of his Holy Spirit. What did Paul say? I've gone through all this stuff, but God delivered me out of all of it. And that didn't happen in a day either. That happened over a lot of years and a lot of things, a lot of things. Every time of spiritual conflict or persecution should be viewed by the child of God only as another glorious opportunity, I might add a joyous opportunity, to prove the love and faithfulness of God to all those around them. That's what the world needs. There's no stability in this world. We talk about the fault. Is it San Andreas fault or whatever the big fault is? I mean, things look stable now, but if that thing goes or when that thing goes, things are not going to be stable. But we have a more sure position in Christ, and we need to show that to people around us. And this is where the peace and the joy come in. Very, very important. Power. There's power. See, these things are forces. They have an effect on people when they go forth through us. Just like the force of fear has an effect. If you're walking around in fear all the time, that's going to get off on people. If you're walking in faith, it's going to get off on people. You're walking in love, it's going to help people. It is in these times of heavy trial and persecution that the child of God will come to know the Holy Spirit in his ministry of comfort. For the believer to experience the Holy Spirit as their only source of comfort, they must keep themselves in a constant position of yieldedness and cooperation with him. If you have a heart of yieldedness towards him, then you will cooperate with him. But people who aren't yielded to whatever the Holy Spirit is going to say to them, if they're afraid of what he's going to say to them, then they come into a place where they won't hear him at all for a time and a season. Even at times when all the circumstances surrounding them are dark and foreboding, or when their feelings are not conscious of any joy or peace, and there is no sign or evidence of relief from the spiritual pressure inflicted upon them by the evil one. Ever been there? No sign of relief in sight. I mean, you don't know whether you're standing for an hour or a month, and it's not a pleasant thing. But, you know, there's one scripture that's really, really important. God will not allow us to endure more than we can stand. And that's the truth. Now, sometimes in the beginning, you know, if somebody looked at me the wrong way, that was a hard thing to, you know, stand for or against. But in these days, we have to have these revelations burned on our hearts so that we can stand regardless. We're going to have days of great joy and a great flowing of God's purpose in our lives and many exciting things happening. But there are days where we have to stand and battle. And, you know, that joy fair, I mean, that's what it comes down to. When you can have joy on both sides of it, you will be victorious. You will overcome in all things. So when there's those times of no sign or evidence of relief from spiritual pressure, we must simply rejoice by faith and continue on in perfect obedience and count all that comes our way as joy. That's an act of faith. It will come. Now, just going back to that scripture, remember we talked about Paul when it was written in that portion of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And this is what he wrote earlier in that chapter. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul, having received all manner of persecution and affliction, was able to refer to this affliction as light, for his trust and hope were in God. And he would later write in 2 Corinthians 12, a little later, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. This was God's answer. For my power is perfected in weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So the purpose of many of these things is to be have God's power perfected in us. Now, I just shared with you earlier in the teaching that God desires a people who are perfectly empowered by him in all things. And I just pray that gives people light on why maybe they're going through certain things. But the fact is, we're moving rapidly towards this tremendous purpose that the Father has for us. And I, for one, want to be perfectly empowered. I don't want to misrepresent God. And I certainly don't want to represent the devil. To give us another indication of Paul's absolute dependence and trust in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's ability to comfort and sustain him in all circumstances, he writes in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Well, what I'm saying to you tonight is God is going to reveal his glory in us in this dispensation. We're not talking about after this dispensation. Again, our priorities. You know, it just comes to the point, regardless of what happens, whatever we run across, whatever the devil tries to do, you know, when it comes right down to it, in the times of toughest trial and pressure, I just want to be a pleasing child to my Father. That's what I want. It doesn't matter what I'm called to or what you're called to. That's what matters. You see, and that, when people come into intimate fellowship with him, that becomes the greatest desire of their heart. And from that place, a perfect relationship with him, all things happen. That is the catalyst to becoming a partaker of the divine nature. Because when you desire to know your loving Father more than anything else, you will partake of his nature. You will be willing to do whatever he says do. And you will understand that he is perfect in all things. And when the smoke clears, you know, it's not too long now, in light of eternity, that the devil's going to fulfill, or his eternal destiny is going to be fulfilled. He won't be anywhere in our metron, so to speak, our sphere. And the fact is, we need to intensify our walk by relying on the Holy Spirit entirely. And because great things are going to happen, we get a really excellent opportunity now to love the Father with all our heart, to exalt the name of Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, to trounce the devil, to crush the devil. That's the word that's used in the scripture by Paul, crush. Well, you can't imagine any nice version of crushing something. When you crush something, it means crushed, obliterated, never to rise again. That's good. As the child of God meditates on these portions of scripture, that's the ones I just read concerning Paul and the sufferings and what he went through. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, God is so faithful. We don't know all the time exactly what he's doing. But boy, when we have faith that whatever he's doing is for our greatest eternal benefit, that's a wonderful thing. And we'll see the fruit of that. I mean, I don't even want to talk about people who get in a controversy with God. God's not your problem. I said this before, but you know, when you get into a situation where you're not sure what's going on, you just start with, okay, God is perfect, and then move on to the next thing, because that's not your problem. God's not your problem. So as we meditate in these scriptures, we'll see clearly that he's made the full provision for us to walk above any adverse circumstance or situation that we may find ourselves in. And don't forget, there's a purpose. God has a purpose in everything. As long as we continue to seek the perfect will of God, we will come to know fully that nothing will overwhelm us. Nothing can overcome us, ultimately. But we must continue to abide in the Word of God. For they can always be assured in their heart that the Holy Spirit will minister to them in his infinite and sovereign wisdom the comfort and counsel needed to sustain them at that time, thereby meeting their every need perfectly and continually. Now that is a place of faith where we must be in. I mean, again, we've got to be past the point where we think we know what our needs are. You know what our needs are? Whatever we need to fulfill God's will, whatever we need to abide in the fullness of kingdom living, that's what our needs are. And we don't know that. We're really stepping out into uncharted territory. And that's a glorious thing. And so we need to have a revelation of God's word in our heart, knowing the Holy Spirit will be there. I mean, I have so many examples of that in my life. And, you know, they this past week, I've really been reflecting on that. Because he has never let me down, and he never will. And we need to be to the point where we believe that with all our heart. And then it's a much smoother process. You know, we're not fighting through all this turmoil of fear and chaos that the devil tries to, or oppression that the devil tries to lay on us. Instead, we're just hearing that still small voice. And one word from the Holy Spirit will set you free in that instant. That's just the way it is. I mean, there's some of them have been comical. Nothing comes to mind right now, But some have been comical. I mean, I'm in this horrendous situation, or I think it is, and I don't know what to do, and he'll say something so funny, you know, but boom, it just breaks everything. Because when God says something, that's your reality right there. Not what's going on around you, not what the devil. The devil can spend 10,000 words trying to convince you of something. One word from God will end it instantaneously. And so you see all these things work together, you know, to accomplish the purpose of God. Okay, well, I'll get started on this, on the joy. Again, we have to realize that our strength comes from the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not our strength to do our own thing, our strength to accomplish the will of God. You can do your own thing in your own strength, but it's sin. The fact is, when we're approaching the fullness of kingdom living and seeking to do the will of God perfectly, then our strength will come from the Lord. It is certain that the depth of the joy found in the obedient heart will rise far above any of the persecutions and suffering, for righteousness' sake, which we are called to in the earth. It's certain. It's certain. It's a strange thing. I mean, I've experienced it both ways. I've suffered for unrighteousness' sake, and I've suffered for righteousness' sake. And I'm telling you, you don't want to do the former. It's not a good thing. And especially now, I will say this, it really is an admonition, because I'm finding, just as it was prophesied many, many years ago, a very distinct prophecy. Now, those who are operating in faith, things are accelerated, and the things that they speak or prophesy will come to pass to a much greater degree, much quicker. But when we open a door to the devil and don't repent of that and get that covered by the blood, the circumstances are manifesting almost immediately in what we sow to. That's a good thing. So let us be those who sow to the Spirit and reap life as opposed to the alternative. Okay. The joy of the Lord is wholly independent of surrounding circumstances, and in the heart of one who is wholly given to him, it is a flowing fountain of strength. It's a flowing fountain of strength. Oh, boy. I just can't help but think the danger of seeking after a false security. Do anything to get the pressure. I used to do that. My goodness. I don't know what going out and eating 3 hamburgers, I don't know what I think how that would be beneficial spiritually, but you know, the pressure left. Yeah, so I mean, the point is, though, that's really a very immature attitude to have. And we need to realize there's a greater purpose. Okay, I better finish up here. No, because I just started this, but I'll continue on here the next time. But I want to leave you with this, because this is something that God just blessed me with extremely. Watchman Nee was a man that God used in my life tremendously, along with others, in the early years. He just had certain revelations that I needed to have to fulfill my calling. And so this is what he said once. And this, he was talking about a situation of impossible circumstances. When God desires to perform a small miracle, he places us in difficult circumstances. When he desires to perform a mighty miracle with far-reaching effects, the circumstances in which he places us are impossible. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the spirit of joy and the spirit of peace. And we thank you, Father, that you just expand this revelation to us in the days ahead, and we give you all glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.